My guest at this time is Chris Horner. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute here in Washington. He joins us frequently to talk about key environmental debates, especially as it relates to the Environmental Protection Agency. In addition to controversial rules released recently, the EPA is now at the center of another controversy, this time over its release of as many as 3 million gallons of contaminated water out of an abandoned gold mine into a Colorado River that is now contaminated water also in New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah. The EPA has been very tight-lipped about the extent of this and how it happened and taking responsibility. The White House also not accepting much responsibility or talking about it much either. So Chris joins us to talk about it a little bit. And Chris, it's always good to have you with us.
My pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
What do we know about what the EPA was supposedly trying to do here?
Well, they were trying to clean up areas around a very old mine that had been considered a problem waiting to happen or a slow-moving train wreck, and they came in and made it disastrously worse in a way that if it were, they broke through some containment walls, spilling pollution that was not a threat to go into the river in quantities that you noted, apparently 3 million gallons at this point, triple the original estimate. It's the kind of spill that if it occurred as a result of the private sector would lead to EPA demanding, shrieking to the heavens, that they be granted all sorts of further authority over the private sector so that this kind of thing doesn't happen. And in fact, it comes amid their biggest demand for authority over the private sector, wrapped in this veil of saintliness and goodness and perfection and competence, which this reminds us, in fact, the agency clearly does not possess. And frankly, if you've read the headlines, not in the establishment print press over the past couple of years, but about EPA's particular Region 8 where this occurred, or headquarters, or in their various warehouses, this is an agency that is completely out of control, with employees spending their days in ways you can't imagine, smearing things on their walls you can't imagine, moving all of their sensitive discussions over to private email accounts, out of control, and now we see thoroughly unaccountable as well as not competent.
What should be happening right now?
Well, right now, what you should see is some form of, we begin with accountability, because everybody makes mistakes. EPA's reason for existence and a constant expansion is that they don't make mistakes like others. The problem is government's different than you and I, Greg. They're not accountable. So right now, you would set in motion processes to clean this up, protect drinking water, bring in emergency drinking water, just like you do in any other spill. And you would, frankly, slow down EPA's demand to. This is the real big flag everybody should sing because of the timing. You would slow down EPA's rush to redesign. This is EPA, mind you. Redesign the country's electricity production and delivery system. EPA. This is not an agency equipped to do that. It's an agency that's lost the plot. They're running around demanding to do that in the name of rules, climate change rules, that they actually acknowledge won't impact the climate. And they lose sight of the important functions. You see it occasionally in industry. Their plants start blowing up when they start, like in BP's case, screaming about global warming, saying they need to be paid to install windmills, losing the plot of their core competencies. EPA needs to focus on what it does and begin to help the locals, because they're doing to communities now out west what they're doing to other communities out west and in the Appalachians right now with their rules. They need to have a little empathy and think twice about what it is they're trying to do on the bigger scale.
Chris, if Congress were so inclined, do you think this is grounds for going back and looking at funding for or even trying to pass legislation to roll back some of these other rules? Do they have that scope, and do you think they have the will to go in that direction?
I don't know if they do have the will, but here's why it is, and it may seem tangential to some. Okay, EPA really messed up here. They're claiming no responsibility, that it was really people they hired. And so the things that they don't let you get away with, just like the IRS is making defenses, imposing defenses that they don't accept from others. What Congress ought to say is, you know what? This is a big red flag. You are not accountable. That is clear. There's nothing EPA can do to itself. And you want to redesign the electricity system. What happens when you take that out of the hands of the people who delivered a miracle, the modern electricity system, and give it to an unaccountable bureaucracy that has no expertise in this? You're going to see on a national level, a far more deadly level, what they've just done to a region nationally. And Congress should just rethink, look, this is an agency running around pretending to control the weather with rules that they acknowledge will have no impact on the weather, but as a good excuse to do something they've always wanted to do. Slow down. We're dealing with an agency that has just reminded us they will not and cannot be held accountable for anything they do. The last thing they should be given authority over is the most serious thing we have.
We're talking with Chris Horner, the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And Chris, in addition to the power plant emissions rule that was unveiled in recent days, which calls for a 32% reduction by the year 2030, I believe. We spoke with the Senate Chairman of Environment and Public Works, Chairman Inhofe, and he says that's just one of three horrible rules that are coming down the pike here. There's that one, there's water, and then there's ozone. From your perspective, I'm sure you are critical of all of them, but which of those alarm you the most?
I suppose the greenhouse gas rules, because what they are doing is you're threatening the country with a blackout. They're terrific, tremendous, immediate human consequences, human health and the environment consequences, but life and death consequences from that. The other are mere deprivation of the right to use your own property, the waters of the U.S. You're effectively taking an enormous percentage of private land in rural America. Those are obviously different threats for different reasons, but one of them poses immediate life or death consequences, and that's the greenhouse gas rules. So if it were an either-or situation, and frankly, if Congress would do its job, it isn't. You would start with the so-called carbon rules, because it will have no impact on climate. Nobody claims it will anymore. It was driven expressly, according to the president, to finally make renewable energy profitable. That's not a legitimate purpose of government. And to bankrupt companies he didn't like. You need to hit the brakes on that immediately, because you're going to kill people. This agenda is killing people in Europe right now, which may be one of the reasons the president stopped telling us to look to Europe to see how it's going to turn out.
Chris, another issue you mentioned in passing at the beginning of our conversation was the ongoing reluctance, to put it mildly, of this administration to release critical information related to different policy initiatives. You have been battling this administration over freedom of information requests related to a number of different programs for years now. And I know CEI, your employer, is now battling over a couple of different issues, including the appeal of a federal judge saying the private email of the White House science czar is it off limits when it comes to freedom of information. Talk a little bit about that and where you see it heading.
Well, that was an interesting one because, the judge's opinion on that was not consistent with D.C. Circuit precedent, which is where we are, which says control isn't everything. If control were everything, then you would be perversely incentivizing government bureaucrats to simply move government over to Gmail, and they'd be thumbing their nose at you. There's nothing you could do about it. But that's not what the law says. It's what we found here. We found numerous appointees. The head of EPA's Region 8, where they just polluted the river, EPA's headquarters using a false identity email. Lots of private email accounts they perform government work on and then don't search those accounts in response to freedom of information requests. Well, either the Court of Appeals, where we've just filed, will say, you know what, this frankly guts the law, or they're going to allow it to continue. And I have to say, with the promiscuous use of Gmail by this administration to hide what they're up to, thanks to some attention brought to the fore by Hillary Clinton, we may see the courts come around and say, we're going to err on the side of telling the agency, I'm sorry, you have to go search that account. That's really what's at issue. They're saying, you can't do it, but if you do, there's nothing we can do about it. And I just think that's a very uncomfortable result for a high-level court to reach.
And I'm sure you're not surprised by the effort to conceal some of this information, given the extensive work of former EPA Administrator Richard Windsor.
Right. Yeah, it starts at the top. And again, that followed the White House moving over to private emails and setting up meetings across the street to avoid the visitor logs. We found the same thing at EPA. They meet the green groups over at the Starbucks at the JW Marriott. And they use Gmail and Yahoo accounts to write rules together. We've exposed all of this recently and expect to do so more in court. They've run amok. The last thing this agency needs is more authority when they won't obey the rules.
Chris, we'll have to leave it there. As always, sir, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Chris Horner is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.